Hello, my name is Brian Novoselsky, and I am an associate editor with Drug Topics. Today, I'm joined by Tom DiPietro, who has been a pharmacist, owner, and operator of DiPietro's Pharmacy in the Scranton, Pennsylvania area since 2012. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, Brian, I'm excited to be here today to talk about this important topic. You know, a funny story about Drug Topics is, you know, even before I was in pharmacy school, my dad would encourage me to read it. So during the summer by the pool, I would be reading Drug Topics. So it's, you know, humbling to be invited to participate today.
That's really awesome. We love to hear that for sure. So before getting into our discussion around the impact of pharmacy benefit managers, or how other people know them as PBMs, on community pharmacy, would you like to give the audience a little more background on yourself, Tom?
Yeah, sure. So I graduated from Temple University in 2009, worked for a chain pharmacy out of the gates. You know, just quickly realized that, you know, I could better serve patients if I had the opportunity to do so. So I was, you know, I found myself in the drive-through trying to get a credit card unstuck from the tube for a patient. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this is not pharmacy. I remember calling my dad saying like, Dad, I'm going to go back to school for something else. And, you know, I was like, what do you mean? You just graduated pharmacy school. So I took a job with I left that big corporate pharmacy, took a job with a pharmaceutical manufacturer for a little bit in a sales role. And then we just really had the itch to open my own pharmacy. So in 2012, I opened DiPietro's Pharmacy just with the goal to better serve our community, you know, give the patients the support that they would need and just be a practicing pharmacist and not just a robot. So it's been very rewarding. We're very much known in our community for our community involvement, the patient care we provide, and really just advocating for our customers. So it's a little bit of my background.
So obviously you're very involved in the community and kind of know how your community works, the ins and outs. Can you start by explaining the current state of community pharmacy from your perspective, specifically as an independent owner?
Yeah, it's very challenging to operate. So we're extremely busy. We have tons of patients. We offer a lot of unique services. The one thing that I often say, Brian, is, you know, not everybody needs a pharmacist. Some people just need a pharmacy, right? So some people just need, you know, to grab one prescription on their way home, jug of milk, some shampoo, toothpaste. So, you know, the big box corner pharmacy might just fit them well. Our patients need more service. So, you know, from medication organization, free delivery, open enrollment will be coming around the corner here. So we could help patients navigate, you know, what plan might suit them best. You know, so that's what sets us apart. But now with the state of, you know, reimbursements, it's very hard to continue to give the service that I want to provide. Because our margins are so tight. And when I, you know, when I talk to patients and educate them on, you know, the battle we're up against, they can't believe it. You know, it's kind of like un-American that we're expected to operate our business under the thumb of a third party company. So my biggest example I'll say is, listen, if I was a pizza business and the price of cheese goes up and maybe it doubles, I'm forced to raise the price of my pizza and my customers would understand it because they're buying cheese at the grocery store as well. You know, we operate in such a convoluted, dysfunctional space that they don't get to see behind the curtain of what we're up against. So I feel as though it's my job to kind of educate them because there are times where, you know, if the copay for a brand name drug is very expensive, I play the game with my customer and educate them like, hey, you're probably going to get this very cheap if you use your mail order pharmacy. Do I want to lose that prescription or do I want to lose that patient's prescription? Absolutely not. But I know at the end of the day, my patient's going to have a decision to make whether they pay for this medicine or pay for their bill, you know, their light bill, their gas bill, their grocery bill. You know, so I have to do right by my patient all day long. But then I also know that there's a jeopardy in place because now they're going to be using multiple pharmacies I won't be able to properly screen their drug interaction. So, you know, there's so many layers of this that the public needs to understand. But you gotta break it down so they could understand it, because, you know, it's so complex. You know, I'm 12 years into ownership and I'm still learning stuff today.
For sure, yeah. I really like that analogy that you gave. I once talked to a litigation lawyer a couple of months ago about this, and his father was from a mom and pop's grocery store background, and kind of he explained the same thing, like if prices go up and like it's a lot easier to kind of manage that, but when you talk about pharmacy, they're kind of in their whole other world and boat because of these third party entities. So I guess diving a little bit into that, obviously PBMs, pharmacy benefit managers, they play a big part in the pharmaceutical supply chain, and they have a big part in kind of where the money goes in community pharmacy and pharmacy as a whole. Getting started, for our audience members who might be unaware, can you just give us kind of a quick summary about pharmacy benefit managers and the role that they play in the pharmaceutical supply chain?
Yeah, because oftentimes people don't even know that they exist. So, you know, when I guess the easiest way to explain it is to the consumer, when you go to fill your prescription and you use your insurance card, that is in essence a pharmacy benefit manager. That's a third-party company that is managing the benefit of your prescription drugs, not only on the behalf of you, but maybe on the behalf of your employer. And they determine what I get paid to dispense the prescription. They determine what you, as the consumer, pay at the pharmacy counter. They also determine, you know, if your drug is covered, if it's not covered. Then they also will determine, you know, if there's a copay differential from using a mail order pharmacy or a pharmacy that they also happen to own. You know, so in essence, they control the transaction from A to Z. You know, so if your drug's not covered, if your copay is expensive, if you're forced to use the mail order, that's all the pharmacy benefit manager. And, you know, often I would say, like, our patients choose us. Our patients choose their doctors. They often will choose their health insurance company, but what they don't get a chance to choose is their pharmacy benefit manager, because it's always just like wrapped into the plan. So, you know, patients, they don't have a choice, you know. So if it's getting their prescription covered with their insurance, they're going to use the card that's in their wallet. And it's just not fair that they have no visibility to the behind the scenes part.
Cool. So a lot of what they're doing, patients and ge the general public isn't really aware of. And that kind of goes to like the fact that PBMs have really been like operating in the shadows. And I feel like that's like a connotation that they usually get. My next question is, do you think there was a specific event or something that happened to really bring PBM practices to light? What do you think specifically caused them to become such a hot topic within the industry, like as of late?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, one of the things I often get asked is, like, you know, doesn't it feel kind of empty to just keep advocating for something but nobody hears it? So, you know, for I would say the past 10 years, so I've been in the pharmacy, I've opened my own pharmacy 12 years, but, you know, 2 years into it is probably when I got like really accustomed to be like, what is going on? And like, how is this even legal, ethical? So I think, you know, as more owners become educated, and I would just say every year, I often think to myself, well, it can't get any worse than it currently is. But somehow the insurance contracts get worse, Brian. And I think over time, you know, pharmacists have just gotten a little bit louder, almost to the point where we used to be fearful to talk about it because we didn't want to violate one of their arbitrary contract clauses. But at this point, I don't think we have anything to lose. So I just think you have. You know, the rubber is meeting the road, right? We're either going to get change from the federal government or we're not going to get change. And then most of these independent pharmacies are going to be out of business. And, you know, I talk to pharmacies in the country on a weekly basis. And, you know, we know what it means if we go out of business for our patients, right? So we're serving, you know, a different clientele that really needs our services. So I just think the evolution of the contract somehow getting worse every year, less pharmacists around, and there's just more of us that are outspoken because we know what's at stake here. And I do think advocacy takes a while. So for the past 10 years, man, I felt like I was talking to a wall. But then suddenly it just seemed, wow, now we have some traction here. I've built relationships with my state representatives, state senators, and then federal officials. But for the longest time, I think we are telling the wrong story. I think we are telling a story of like we're getting paid under cost. Like, so we buy the drug for X and we're getting paid less than that. But I think the story that needed to be told is how does it impact the consumer? And I think we're doing a good job of that from a national standpoint. We have great groups. So, like, NCPA is doing a great job advocating for us, state associations are doing a great job advocating for us. So, I think advocacy takes time, energy, effort, unfortunately, money. And I think, just our country is yearning for this personal touch, and we're getting farther and farther away from it in all aspects, not just the pharmacy industry, but I mean, you look at like the healthcare, our hospital systems locally, they just keep getting bought out by bigger companies and just, bigger, 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 but then the service is not there. So, I finally think we have consumers frustrated, we have legislators frustrated. I'm not sure if you had the opportunity to watch the FTC, or I'm sorry, the Congress Oversight Committee hearing, but I mean, we had bipartisan support of frustrations when they were talking with the three executives for these PBMs. I mean, consumers are frustrated, and I just think it has hit ahead.
I'm glad you brought up the Congress hearing. Kind of didn't really get anywhere from that. You assume that, bipartisan, them getting grilled, and they didn't really give anyone really anything of kind of girth or anything that really
Yeah,
worked.
no, I mean they were great at dancing around
Exactly.
the topics at hand. I mean, some of the comments were just so downright false, like, oh, if you don't like the contract, just redline it and send it back and we'll negotiate with you. That doesn't happen. I mean, I've been for the past 10 years I've been trying to move get better rates, and there's just no, you're up against a mountain, So yeah, it was very frustrating to watch. I didn't know if my computer screen was going to last. I thought I was going to punch through it. But luckily I sat on my hands and just shook my head the whole time. And but I was happy because it does seem like our elected officials are on to this corruption. I mean, there's no better way to put it. It's a corrupt industry.
Definitely one of the bigger things that has come out as of late. So I guess obviously I'm glad you touched on the patients and kind of the advocacy. We'll dive a little bit into that. But first, a majority of the public is obviously pointing the finger at PBMs for downfalls within the supply chain. But do you believe that other entities are kind of responsible supplementally for rising drug costs and for other things like community pharmacies shutting their doors?
Yeah, man, you'd have to think so, right? And that's a question I ask myself all of the time. I know the PBMs point the finger at the drug manufacturers, and the drug manufacturers are pointing back at the PBMs. Money, I mean, I often will say, regardless of the situation, follow the money, right? And if you follow the money, it's going to take two to tango. So you have manufacturers that are forced to give rebates to get onto the PBM's formulary. When you have three PBMs that control 80% of the market, the pharmacy, the manufacturers, the drug manufacturers have to play the game. And to play the game, they have to offer rebates. The way that the system is set up, if they don't offer the rebates, they're not going to get preferred on a formulary, and they're not going to sell their product, right? So there's definitely room, but I think we're past the point of pointing fingers. I think we're past the point of, who's to blame. I think we have to roll up our sleeves as a nation and say, okay, this is where we're at today. How do we move beyond here? How do we fix this problem that we're at? And I just think our country has become so divided in general that we just get stuck in this rut of saying who's better than who and who's to blame. We need to find a solution because at the end of the day, there's patients that are suffering. Waiting, sitting by their mailbox, waiting for their cancer medicines to show up, and they never show up. I spent a 4th of July last year getting a call from a dad, and his daughter, who was 12 at the time, was supposed to get a chemo drug mailed to her, and it was supposed to arrive the day before the July 4th holiday. It's medication I don't dispense. So I spent the day calling local hospitals and trying to borrow a drug for the patient. Luckily I found an inpatient hospital that had the medication that allowed me to borrow it. Drove to the family member's house to give them the medication. And I mean, this is the stuff that's happening across the country. There's pharmacists that are doing this stuff. We don't talk about it because it's just part of what we do. It's in our DNA to help our patients. But trying to overcome the shortcomings of the mail order and trying to overcome the shortcomings of PBMs to serve our patients. And look, I'm not looking for a gold star. I'm not looking for a monetary figure, but that day I spent running around on the 4th of July holiday looking for a chemo drug for a 12-year-old patient. I didn't get paid for it. I didn't bitch. I didn't complain. But at the end of the day, we're disservicing our healthcare system. We're supposed to be the greatest country on earth, but our healthcare system is just getting, bogged down by red tape and dysfunction of these corporations. So I think the impact, there's just so much. The impact of the patients is just, it's too much for them to handle anymore, and they just can't even navigate it alone.
So if you ask pharmacists and other healthcare providers, kind of like exactly what you just explained, the most important aspect of their work, many will say it's providing their patients with care of the utmost value. So how do you think patients around the world are viewed in the eyes of PBMs?
I hate to say it because I hate to answer it so quickly. But I'm gonna say it. I think unfortunately the patients are viewed as a dollar sign. In the world of insurance companies, they refer to patients as belly buttons. Okay, so oftentimes if you're talking with an insurance company and you're working and saying like, look, I have this employer group. Okay, well, how many belly buttons is that? And what they mean by that is like how many people are in the group, and they're referring to them as actual belly buttons. I mean, to me, I often say to my patients like, look, you're a human first, and I'm always going to refer you by your name. But I don't think the pharmacy benefit managers have that instilled in their practices. I mean, maybe. And I'm not saying across the board. I'm sure there's definitely caring, compassionate pharmacists and clerical staff that really take to heart what they do and serve their patient, right? So I'm not saying everybody that works for a PBM is this evil person that's looking just at the patient as a dollar sign, but from a corporate standpoint, I believe that's what they're viewed as, unfortunately.
Cool. So moving a little more to kind of the future and what's going on as far as reform. In the past year alone, there's been an immense amount of movement toward PBM reform on both the state and national levels. What do you think has been the most impactful news or legislation in the past few months or years?
That's a great question, and it's one that I often answer. And I could say this, I can't point to a specific topic, I can't point to a specific piece of legislation, but seeing that mostly all of the states are taking some sort of action or putting some sort of attention to pharmacy benefit managers, and now we have our federal government, the Congress holding hearings about them, the Federal Trade Commission looking into them. I think in general, we just have to look at this traction and momentum as a win. If you were to ask me how to solve this problem, I can't give you that answer. I'm not sure how we get out of this mess. It's complex, multi-layered. It's like peeling an onion, but we don't even have visibility of how big that onion is. So I just think, looking at the momentum and the attention that this topic is getting, I think we're on the right track to finding a solution out of here. I guess my most hopeful thing was that congressional hearing, seeing the bipartisan support and the frustration of our elected officials who, listen, I don't care if you're an elected official and you don't support our mission, that's fine. But if your community is asking you to support it, you're getting elected for that. So, I'd point to Georgia where the governor vetoes the bill. Like you have a bill that went through the state house and then the state senate. In my eyes, you're not a dictator, right? You're there because you have elected officials that were elected by the people to pass a bill in majority that they did that, right? So, I think the more our elected officials know that we're going to hold them accountable for standing up for what's right. What really bothers me is drug prices is a kitchen, it's a dinner table topic, and we only hear about it every 4 years when there's a presidential election. You look at the ads that are coming out now, cap insulin prices, drug prices. Every 4 years we hear how you're going to control drug prices, but then it goes away. I mean, if you want to eat the elephant in this room, we can't just fix insulin, right? We have to fix the problem. We have to fix the there's a root cause analysis that needs to get done. And unfortunately, I think it's going to point at the PBMs as the reason why drug prices are out of control. If it's not them, that's fine. Let's figure out who is to blame. Why are drug prices so out of control? Why can't our patients afford their medicines? Why does a patient have to go get their drug in the mail when they want to use a local pharmacy or they want to use a retail pharmacy? I think those are the questions our citizens, our community deserves answers to. And if it's not the PBMs, let's figure out who it is. But I think, it was a beautiful sentiment by one of the congressmen that said, look at pharmacists are saying you're the problem. Drug manufacturers are saying you're the problem. Community members are saying you're the problem. If you're not the problem, who is? So I think as this evolves, hopefully it doesn't, we can't let the topic just disappear once the election's over. It's something that needs to be fixed, and it can't just be briefly touched on every 4 years when there's an election to get our seniors excited that drug prices might actually come down when in reality we're just toying with them.
The election cycle. I'm glad you touched on that. I think that that's something that not a lot of people are talking about, just how some issues come and go just because of an election. I think that's very important.
Yeah,
So
and both sides will talk about drug prices because they know consumers care about it. And if we're going to say we care about it, let's care about it, because at the day there's a patient at home that's suffering over the practices of, but in my eyes, pharmacy benefit managers. But as I mentioned, if it's somebody else, I'm open, and I'm ready to hear who's to blame.
what are some things that you as a pharmacy owner are doing right now to protect your business against opaque PBM dealings and to turn a profit amidst declining reimbursements?
Yeah, I mean, it's very challenging. Controlling our expenses is the biggest part. And when you look at expenses, the only expenses I really have control over is my payroll. So we have to run like lean and mean, but we still have to be able to provide services. You look at like what a chain pharmacy did recently is they stopped answering their phones and they said to the patients, leave a voicemail and we'll call you back. If I ever get to that point where that's the service I'm going to offer my patients, I'm just going to close my shop. Patients don't deserve to leave a voicemail and wait for a phone call back. That's disgusting. This is healthcare. It's not, they're not just calling because they want to talk to somebody. They have a critical question and they need their medication. So controlling my payroll, but in a manner, I'm not going to shred it to the point where I can't offer personal service. And then, looking at your cost of drugs, I mean, it try to buy the best pricing that you could buy. Internally, like from an operational standpoint, there are some services that are, very much needed in the community, like vaccine services. We try to really focus on groups. So we'll go to some employers to host, flu shot clinics or COVID vaccine clinics. We offer like medication management services that, really helps us stay efficient and organized. Trying to control our inventory by controlling when we fill the prescription. But it's really hard. It's really hard to operate when you can only control the expense side of it. Because at the end of the day, the pharmacy benefit managers are going to pay us what they're going to pay us to dispense the drug. I testified at a state house hearing, and my example for the day was explaining a dispensing fee, how I get paid 50 cents dispensing fee. And I showed the between the label, the pharmacy label, the pharmacy vial, and the pharmacy lid, that's 50 cents alone. And then I have all my overhead of, staffing, electrical bills, computers, all of that stuff. And I said, like, you know, it's just completely disrespectful that in 2024, the value of a pharmacist to dispense a prescription is 50 cents. I mean, you can't even make a phone call for that. So, you know, I think we have a lot of work to oh, we have a lot of work to do to overcome the income side of it, right? The sales side of it, or the profit side of it. So, you know, just as an owner, controlling our expenses. And look, we're extremely busy. So I'm not crying that I need customers. I'm just crying that, like, it's just not a fair practice to give me, you know, 50 cents. You know, there's some prescriptions where we're making $1 or $2, and then, you know, at the same patient might get a prescription where we're losing $50. So you just can't balance it. I think in the past you used to be able to balance it. You'd have some winners and some losers, and it would balance. But now, majority of the prescriptions we're filling are losers. You know, as we head into COVID season, you know, you look at one of the antiviral medications that's $1,500 to purchase. I had a meeting this morning with my staff, and every single time we dispense the drug, we're losing $30 to $40. I said, you know, what's our strategy here come the fall when, you know, we're going to see a bump in COVID, because we always do, and they're going to turn to this antiviral medication, and they're going to be looking at us to dispense it. But it literally will sink our ship if we take on the business. So these are just not, they're not great. They're very tough decisions to make, because at the end of the day, you know, it's not just economical, it's a patient. So that's, in general, you know, control. I would just, you know, summarize it by saying controlling my expenses is the best thing I can do now, and just kind of like hang on. I'm just like holding that steering wheel very tight, driving in a snowstorm, hoping my car stays on the road.
I think this has been a great discussion. I have one more question, kind of to cap everything off for the most part. So, what are your hopes for the future of independent pharmacy? And what are some necessary changes that you would like to see within the industry in the next few years? Basically, like what kind of like what do you think should be the is like your hopeful end goal for all of this challenge and all of these issues going on right now?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I think it's going to take the federal government to impose some sort of regulation and oversight into pharmacy benefit managers. Pharmacies need to get paid a fair dispensing fee on the actual drug cost, right? So I think for far too long, there's been this cat and mouse game of, you know, pharmacy is going to submit a price for X amount, even though we know we paid this amount. You know, like, the drug cost should be very transparent. I'm not saying the government should control the drug cost, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think all I look for is the pharmacy should be paid a fair dispensing fee. So if we have a national study that's objective, right? It's not done by pharmacists, and it's not done by insurance companies, but they say that the cost to dispense the medications is $11.40 some cents. That should just be the cost that we're given, right? I'm not looking for $50. If you're telling me the cost to dispense a prescription is $11 and change, just give me the $11 and change, and let's call it fair. You know, there's no pharmacy owner that decided to open a pharmacy to get rich, because we operate on a profit margin of 3 to 5%. So if you're in this business to get rich, it's the wrong business to be in. We just want to serve our community with fair prices. You know, so I think fair reimbursement, I think patient choice. There should never be an instance where a patient is forced to go to a mail order pharmacy for a cheaper copay. There should never be an instance where a patient is forced to use a chain pharmacy. This is America. So I just think, like, we have to have a fair and level playing field where the focus is on the consumer, right? It can't be on the pockets of PBMs, the pockets of insurance companies, the pockets of drug manufacturers, the pockets of pharmacy owners, right? This is about patients, and it's got to be about patients first and always. And that's what's so frustrating to me, is just like the patients are just in the crossfire. So I think at the end of the day, if we could just get some sort of fair system where the pharmacy operates in, the insurance company operates in, and the patient is served, you know, I think I'm hopeful that we'll see some change. I just don't know how you get there. It's kind of above my pay grade.
Awesome. Well, I do think that was kind of the perfect way to cap it all off. I really appreciate you taking the time today and joining
Yeah,
us.
awesome. Nice to meet you. Keep in touch.